The new converts were baptized. Hallelujah, Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 10:16, Paul letters to the Romans. Acts 1 and 8, Paul church planting all took place in the utmost part of the earth. Abraham called from God in Genesis 12:1-3. Let us go about our Father's business. Father, I thank you for your word. And I'm asking you right now in the name of Jesus, anybody sick, heal right now. Deliver, Father. Let them know that you got all power. You the same God. You have not changed. Lord, heal right now in the name of Jesus. God bless you. Have a blessed day.
Thank you for tuning in today to the Getting to Know Him broadcast with Pastor Elvira Brevel of the Trinity Missionary Baptist Church of Alexandria, Louisiana. To correspond with Pastor Brevel or to send a love offering, go to $ShalondaNobles. That's $ShalondaNobles. Be sure to tune in for the next Getting to Know Him broadcast.
KAYT, Shreveport Greenwood, 92.5.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused, and let Words of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altonio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
We're going to parade and peruse the periphery of Proverbs chapter 3. Verse number 1 through verse 12. I know it's 12 verses, but be relieved. I have another service to go to. Amen. Amen. God is awesome. And we're going to see what the Lord is going to say to us from these verses of Scripture. When you have Proverbs chapter number 3. Verse 1, you're looking at verse 1. We'll read 1 through 12. Say, I have the word. I'm ready to receive it. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Yes. Trust in the Lord, yes, with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increases. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighted. Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass withered, the flower fade, but the word of God endures forever. Amen. Amen. I want to use for a thought, tag, title, topic for this message on this morning. Coming from verse number 5 of that same chapter. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Amen. Amen. The Bible, the book of Proverbs, is one of the poetic books. And this literature gives us some wisdom. We know that sometimes people don't always like to hear good counsel or wisdom because we have our own feelings and we have our own thoughts. Yeah. Amen. But it's good when you can understand wisdom. If you read the first beginning of Proverbs, the first chapter in which we talked about on Thursday night, it talks about how the purpose of the book is for you to know wisdom, to know what it is, to recognize it, and to appreciate it. For a person not to appreciate wisdom or wise counsel is almost to reject the oracles of God. Amen. And you're asking for trouble in your life. Amen. And so the majority of this proverb, this book of Proverbs, written by Solomon. Hezekiah at the time was king, and he told the scribes, he said, find all of the Proverbs of Solomon and put them in a book so that we may have them. And so not only did they find the Proverbs of Solomon, but they found a few other people, and they added it in the book. But the thing about it is that Solomon, being as wise as he was, he spoke over 3,000 Proverbs, and he knew over 1,000 songs. Isn't that something? You know, we know some songs. You know, we even know a few quotes and cliches that grandmama them used to speak. But none of us can say we know 1,000 words of wisdom or 3,000 words of wisdom. Amen? But it's good when wisdom is present in your life, because then you have wisdom. It'll help you make the right decisions and do the right things. Amen. Amen. You know, most of the time we cast off, when we are younger, we cast off wisdom because we do what everybody else is doing without thinking. Amen. But when we get older, seems like we want to be wise because we don't have as much time to mess up like we did when we were younger. Amen. And so here it is. It says, and I'm going to get to it because of time. It says that, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. So what he's saying here is, the father is speaking. He's saying, don't forget my law, what I said. Don't forget the things, my rules. The way I rule, don't forget that, but keep it in, let it be in your heart so that you'll do exactly what I want you to do. Now, verse 2 says, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. In order for us to have long life or eternal life, we have to obey his commandments. Yeah. Jesus told us that we have to obey his commandments. Now, there are two commandments that Jesus gave that he mean that we ought to keep. What are the two? One, he said, on these two hang the law and the prophets. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. These two, he said, hang the law and the prophets. And so if we keep those two, Jesus even said, this is how we know that you're my disciple, the love that you have one for another, for the brethren, right? If we love the brethren, then we prove that we are his disciple. And this is proof. The fact that we love is what gets us into heaven, the proof that we are born again. Amen. Now, if you only love people that love you back, you ain't done nothing. Right? But when we're born again, then we are able to have long life, because he said, if you're in me, you'll never die. All right, that's what it says now. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. Then he says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, but bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart. Well, he says that mercy and truth, what he's saying is that don't let kindness, for you always be kind. Don't let it be said that you're not a kind person. Now, some of us, you know, now we need to reevaluate ourselves now. Because some of us haven't been so kind. We have a reputation of being, you know, mad dogs. We have a reputation sometimes of being just abrasive. You know, nobody don't want to approach you with nothing, because you always, you know, they know you're going to throw out, you're going to act a fool. They know that you're going to go to the circus with your clown suit and bring the rest of the clowns with your bozo and cookie and homie. They know this. So they can't approach you because they know how you are. So reevaluate yourself. Are you approachable? Do you have any kindness that you offer to people? Do you have the same kindness that God gives you? Do you give it back? It's all right. It's wisdom. He said, let not mercy. That's what it means. That word mercy actually means, and I will tell you the Hebrew word, but it don't mean nothing to you. But it means truth. It means kindness. Then he says, don't let mercy and truth forsake you. Truth means firmness. It means to be reliable. If you say you're going to be somewhere, be there. Let me talk to the millennials. Because when you say I'm around the corner and you're in Alexandria, be reliable. You know you ain't around the corner. You in Clarence somewhere, and you talking about you turning on the street now. I get that all the time. It make me so mad. All you got to do is tell me you ain't right there. That's something right there. Anyway, he said, that truth, mercy, kindness, and truth. He says, make sure you're stable. Make sure you're established. You're faithful, reliable. Make sure you have that. That you have a truth, a firmness about you that people can rely on. Amen. Amen. He said, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, but bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart. Don't be unkind to people. Make sure that you wear it like an ornament on a necklace. You know, sometimes you got a nice little pendant. Sometimes it you can have on an outfit, and then you put that little pendant on, it'll set it off. People be like, oh, that looks nice. People ought to be able to look at your kindness, and they ought to be able to look at your reliability, and they ought to be able to say, man, that's nice right there. I like that. You know, and so he said, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, but bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart. In other words, whatever's in your heart is going to come out. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. All right. It's from the abundance of the heart, the mouth. So if you ain't kind in your heart, you're going to say anything. If you don't have that kindness, that love in your heart, you're not going to speak in love. If you don't have grace in your heart, you're not going to speak gracious words. I'm preaching anyway. Amen. Amen. So whatever you are in your heart, that's what you really are. If you're rotten in your heart, the only person that don't know you rotten is you. Because your friends talk about you behind your back because you're so rotten. Y'all, you don't hear me. Amen. Amen. It's going to get better, y'all. So shall thou find favor and good understanding. Here is the reason we need wisdom. It's not only for long life, but he says so that we will have favor. So that we will find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So that we would find favor and good understanding. Now, when he talks about favor, he said he's talking about elegance. He's talking about acceptance. When people see you, they don't have a problem with you. Amen. Now, you can't help those that envy you, but I'm talking about just anybody, people. And he says, so you'll have favor and what? Accepting and good understanding. We need understanding. He said, in all thy getting, get what?
Understanding.
Get the understanding. The understanding that you get is the understanding of what God means about what he means. What he means by what he said, what he wants from you, his will, all of this. So he said, we will find favor and good understanding, and we'll be able to identify right from wrong in the sight of God and man, right? So we have understanding, and people will come to us for insight. That's what it really means, understanding. We'll have good insight, and when we have good insight, then we'll have acceptance in God's eye and in man's eye, and people will rely on you for advice. Amen, because they'll get godly counsel. So the first thing we get is what? Favor. Then he says in verse number 5, he said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. Amen. So what is he saying here? He's saying not only you have favor, but he expects you to have faith. Amen. Trust in the Lord. When we trust in God, that means that God, we believe you above everybody else. We believe whatever you said above whatever someone else has said. But many times we believe what does say. You know who does is. The people. The street committee. Can I say this? I don't hardly say this. The Negroes. Sorry. I don't hardly say that, but you know. The people. Whatever they say doesn't matter because what God, whose report will you believe? Even the doctor, whose report will you believe? I believe the report of the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Have faith in him. And look, he said, not have faith with your head, because we know God is. We know that we need to depend on him. But he's saying, with all thine heart, with everything inside of you, trust him. When everything else seems like it's failing around you, even if your mind is not all what it ought to be, and you feel like you're going crazy, but your heart, you need to trust him. Yes. Amen. Trust in him with what? All that, every part of me, the innermost part of my being needs to trust him, and I don't need to lean to my own understanding. In other words, I don't need to have some trial and error. I'm going to try this. I'm going to try that. I'm going to try. Just trust in God. Trust in what God said do, and it'll happen for you. Amen? He said to trust in the Lord, not just anybody. I know we trust in people, and when people let us down, somehow, I don't understand this, but somehow we equate people letting us down with God not doing it for us, and he let us down too. Because sometimes when people don't do it for us, we get mad with God. I ain't going to church. I ain't praying. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like reading. I guess it ain't supposed to be. Just because somebody let you down, you decide that you don't want to trust God? Because somebody didn't do, they were not reliable. They weren't truthful. Come on and say amen. Because somebody else had an issue, you decide that your issue is now with God. We can't afford to be that way. Amen. So we ought to have faith. We ought to have favor with God. He says this. He said, and lean not into thine own understanding. In other words, we need to understand like God wants us to understand. Not how I understand, because how I understand sometimes, you know, people just got a bad understanding. You ever talk to people that got a bad understanding? I don't care what you say to them. It just don't make no sense. And then they just can't get right. You know how they just can't get it, you know, and you can keep talking till you're blue in the face or whatever color you turn when you talk a lot. You just keep talking and they just can't understand. You can write it down. They don't understand it. You can do it for them and they still can't get it and they still just keep doing the wrong thing. And they just got, you just automatically say they just got a bad understanding. I don't understand how you think you're right about this when you're wrong. Bad understanding. But he tells us, he said, lean not to our what? Because everybody understands that they're right. Most of the time, we think that we're right. You know, a man's ways, in his own heart, he think he's right. It's not a person in here can't tell me that you think you're right most of the time. Now, if you tell me that you think you're wrong most of the time, something wrong with you. But God has told us that, in our own eyes, we think we're right. That's what God said about us, so he can't lie. And so he said, don't lean to your own understanding. Go to God to get the understanding. God, and a lot of times when we're going through trials, some of those things that we have in our life are sent by God, but we start blaming the devil. And if we go to God and say, God, help me to understand what's going on, then he can show us and guide us through our trial that he sent. And then we will understand that don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trials, which only come to try us and not to destroy us. He says tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope, and we have a hope that maketh us not ashamed. He is only letting us go through so our character would get better and that we would realize that he won't make us ashamed, or better yet, he will not disappoint us. Y'all still with me here? Yes. Bible study almost done. In all thy ways. Look at this. Not in some of my ways. Not just on Sunday morning for about an hour and a half or two. He said, but in all thy ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. We need to, in all our ways, acknowledge him. The word acknowledge is a praise word. It is the word yada. That's what it is in Hebrew. And that yada means Judah, which means praise. In all my ways, praising. Somebody caught that. So whenever I'm in a pathway that seems to be obstructed, I can praise him and he will see me through it. Amen. So in all my ways, instead of me complaining when I'm in a bad path or when something's going wrong, instead of me complaining, instead of me feeling sorry for myself and having a pity party and belly aching and crying as if I'm wounded, instead of all of that, he said that I need to acknowledge him or praise him. Lord have mercy here. We need to learn how to praise him in the midst of trials, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of situations that seem unfavorable, in the midst of the lies that are told or the brokenness that you have. You need to learn how to praise him, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley, Psalm 23, of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they what? Comfort me. I may be in a place that I don't want to be in, but God is with me anyway. And since he's there, he said, and he'll lead me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, because of his name, because he has a good reputation, because he is reliable, because he's true. He's going to lead me in the path of righteousness. I know we got a lot of paths that we can take, but if God is right there in the midst, if I can praise him, he says that he inhabits the praises of his people. And if he lives in the praise, then I can get him in my situation and he'll live with me and guide me down the path that I'm supposed to be on. And I don't have to make a choice because he's already made it. The Bible tells me, he said, let the peace of God rule your heart. The word rule is the word that means umpire. In other words, the word rule means let God's peace tell you when you're safe and when you're out of the, y'all don't hear me in here, of the will of God. And so I want to be in the will of God, so I'm going to praise him while I'm in the pathway, while I'm waiting for him to tell me which way to go, I'll praise him. While I'm waiting on him to show me the way that I need to take, I'll praise him. I'll lift him up. Do I have anybody that said, I will acknowledge him in all my ways? He'll direct my path. Did you know that God say, I'll guide you with my eye? What did he mean by that? He mean that you got to be looking in my face to know which way I'm telling you to go. You got to be, see, we seek his hand because we think he's some type of spiritual Santa Claus that, God, I've been good. You been naughty or nice? I've been nice, God. I was nice for 2 weeks. I was even nice to her when I know her talked about me. You know, we try to tell God all of what good we ain't no good. Come on. Without him, we are nothing. Amen. Even at our best, we are like filthy rags. Come on and say amen. And so we try to tell God we've been good and God, we need you to bless us. But what if he doesn't bless you with the hand? What if he said, just seek my face? You know, and he lets you suffer a little longer just so you can seek his face. Will you still seek his face? If he don't give you, will you throw a temper tantrum like a 2 or 3 year old in the store after a piece of candy? Will you throw a temper tantrum like that whenever God don't give you what you want when you want it? He don't have to do it. He's already done enough. He doesn't have to give you the lanyap or the extra stuff that he gives to us, but he doesn't. And you know what? I realize that even if I don't ask God for something, do you know he still blesses me? And I don't know why, because I haven't been that good, but I realize that his favor that he gives me, the love that he has for me, it exceeds all that I've done. And his love is unconditional, and so he looks at me beyond my faults and see my needs and supply all my need according to his riches and glory. And so that's why I'm telling you that sometimes you don't even have to ask for it, just seek his face. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and Matthew 6:33, and all of his righteousness, and these things shall be at what things? The things that the Gentiles seek, food and clothes and stuff that you might need to put on your back and in your house, in your pantry. He said, you can have that stuff if you just seek my face. And the problem is that we seek his hand rather than his face. He wants to guide us with his eye, and so I'm trying to look at what he's looking at. You know how you're talking to somebody and they just don't look at you, they look away and they look at something else, and you turn to look to see what they're looking at. I want to see what he's seeing. And if I can see what he's seeing, then I can see that it's going to be all right. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen in here. Come on now. I can see, if I can just see what the Lord sees, you know what? You'll have better self-esteem if you can see what God sees in you. You would believe in yourself too if you can see what God sees in you. All right. I'm going to try to get finished here. Y'all getting bored on me. He'll direct your path. Verse 7 says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Now, we understand we get trust in the Lord and we have favor. We have faith, but we must be focused. We must acknowledge him. We must praise him. And then he says, for us not to be wise in our own eyes, but we need to what? Fear the Lord. You know, some people don't think soberly of themselves. We don't think soberly of ourselves. Sometimes we think more of ourselves than we ought to. Yeah. Amen. And I'm not putting, you know, I'm not telling you to put yourself down, but I'm saying be honest with yourself. Right. And be honest with God, because he tells us that if you're going to worship him, he said you must worship in spirit and in truth. And part of the truth is by telling the truth about yourself. God, I messed up. God, I missed it. God, I didn't pray. I didn't listen. I disobeyed your word. Be truthful. Yes. Amen. But some of us want to believe that we're Jesus' stepbrother. Amen. I'm not a stepbrother. I'm his real brother. Amen. All right, so I'm just trying to see if y'all are still awake on me. Verse 8 says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And so, but he tells us, he said, leave evil, depart from evil, right? Don't think that you got it going on. Don't think that what you know, because nowadays, let me stop and go back to that. Nowadays, people think right is wrong and wrong is right. Oh, yeah. Nowadays, they do. They think it's okay to do a whole bunch of stuff that God said it wasn't okay to do, but now all of a sudden, we got this new theology that it is okay. Y'all hear me? The Bible said that his word remains the same. It's the same yesterday. He is the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever, all right? And so we understand that he said, and depart from evil. Those things that got us bound up, those things that we get into, the little evilness in your heart, you know, the little thing that you sit there and say, the little evil stuff that we do. He said, depart from it, leave it alone. And he said, when you leave it alone, look at this, it shall be health to thy navel. If you want to feel better, live better, and be healthy spiritually and physically, walk away from evil. Amen. This is wisdom. It shall be health to thy navel. We know what the navel, what the navel is a remnant of, or what the navel indicates is that you are connected at some point to somebody else. Right? It is the umbilical cord. It's the place where the umbilical cord was connected to you, right? The navel or the string or basically it's telling us that it'll be health to our what? Navel. So what he's saying here is that how a baby get nourishment is through the what? Y'all with me? Through the navel. He said, and if you can walk away from evil, your connection with God will bring health to your navel. It'll nourish you. It'll get you to a place where you are healthy spiritually. Amen. Yeah. And mentally and physically. Amen. And so I want to be healthy, so I got to cut all the evil off. Amen. Come on and say hallelujah. Yeah. And when I cut all the evil off, then God nourishes me because I'm now connected to him. Yeah. Amen. You know, when you have that baby, they cut that cord, they take a little blood out of that. Do you know that's where the stem cells come from that heal people? Yeah. Wow. You know, in some places, they don't throw away that, you know, they keep that placenta and the umbilical cord. They keep that because it helps for healing of the body. Yeah. But you can't get it in America because they take it and they use it for something else. Yeah. Nah, I'm going to leave that alone. That's kind of... But I, if you have time, you can talk to me later. But anyway, they use it for something else. But what we got to find out here is that what he's saying is that it's health for us. It heals us if we stay connected to God and get rid of the thing that disconnects us. Whatever put a kink in your cord of faith, whatever kinks you up and keep you from being connected, whatever cuts you away from God, you need to walk away from that, and you need to realize that you need to be connected. Oh, yeah. Jesus said, I am the what? True vine. My Father is the husband. And if you're connected to me, whatever is in me is going to be in you. Yeah. And that's why you can judge a tree by the fruit it bears. Because if you're not connected to the tree, then you're going to bear some bad fruit. I wish I had somebody. He says now, not only that, he says, but he says that it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bone. All right? And what he's saying here is moisture to your bones and what you need for your bones not to be bruised.